Our lecture of tonight is about the Eucharist. One of the church sacraments is the Eucharist. Previously, we have taken lectures on baptism, on Mairun, on chrismation, on confession or repentance and confession, and now we will talk about the Eucharist, Tanawul, Eucharistia. The sacrament of communion is the cornerstone of the worship of the Orthodox Church. So, as a preacher, as an Orthodox preacher, you should know how to deliver this holy sacrament to the people, how to explain this sacrament, how to let them enjoy praying in the Mass after which, and they wait to get the communion. The first question, when do we offer the sacrament? Can we start explaining the sacrament of communion with the first meeting with the non-believer? No. Actually, this will come later on. After they believe in God, after they believe in Trinity, after they believe in incarnation and resurrection, after they believe in the new life, after they believe in the act of baptism, after they know the church and the worship. And lastly, we will end with this. How do we come nearer to God? How can we stick to the Lord? How can we enjoy the food of the heaven? So the sacrament of communion couldn't be the start of preaching. Actually, it comes a bit later on. So, I'm reminding you, our target with the speech, with the early speech with any non-believer is we're targeting repentance and faith, after which we can put the sacraments. And baptism and chrismation, the new life, the salvation, and lastly the Eucharist. So after we convince them that the new life needs a new food, new pattern of new style of life, so they need to eat some heavenly food. Now it's time to speak about the Eucharist. How do we offer the sacrament? We can offer this sacrament, we can speak about the sacrament of Eucharist or the Holy Mass in many ways. First of all, you can start by the story of the needs. We need, as spiritual guys, spiritual beings, we need the food, the energy to continue our spiritual life. As human beings, we eat food so we can live, we can grow. Also in our spiritual life, we need some pattern of food, different food, so we can live and grow. So with the idea of living and growth, we can deliver the message of the Eucharist. We need to have a specific food, very special food for our spiritual living. Also, we need for a sensual relation. I mean, we need to see God, to touch God. We do not believe in a God not visible, not seen, not touchable. Actually, our Lord is seen, is visible. That's why our Lord, after ascension to heaven, he put his body and blood on the altar so we can continue seeing him and touching him. So the relation with our Lord Jesus Christ will continue not only in an emotional or psychological or imaginary level, but on sensual level, so we can touch him. Actually, we touch the flesh of the Lord. We eat the body and blood of Christ. So the relation is very strong and even have some part sensual, yani hissi, physical. Actually, also another way to deliver the message of the sacrament of communion is to think of how much explanations or understanding you can get about the Lord. The Lord will be over any level of understanding. Whatever the IQ, whatever the knowledge you have, you still you cannot know God completely. But in our relation with God, we can love Him, come nearer to Him, touch Him, even eating Him, rather than understanding Him. For the young kids, how can they know God? They cannot know Him intellectually. You cannot speak with their minds much. With the very poor and simple people, they cannot know much, but they can enjoy the relation with God through the sacrament of praying and communion. You understand this idea? That's why actually the Mass is made for the simple believers of the Church, for the kids of the Church. You know, there's some prayer the priest is praying after finishing the communion, but actually you do not hear it. أبونا بيقول في آخر القداس في سره فمنا امتلأ فرحا ولساننا تهليلا من جهة تناولنا من هذه الأسرار لأن ما أخفيت عن الحكماء والفهماء هذا أعلنت لنا نحن الأطفال الصغار الذين لبيعتك. يعني السر اللي في إيدينا ده nobody can get يعني كل اللي فيه مش ممكن تفهمه, إنما ده أعلنت لنا نحن الأطفال الصغار. So we move in the church like kids of God. So we enjoying the relation with God on this physical level to ensure that the relation is very strong, but not on the understanding level, but more deeper with the physical level. Let's go with some of the verses of the Bible. Great is the mystery of godliness. It was written in Timothy, the first letter of Timothy, chapter 3. Great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifested in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen by angels, preached among the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up in glory. If you go with the liturgy, the words of the Mass, لو قريت كلام القداس, أبونا is saying inside the liturgy, وضع لنا هذا السر العظيم للتقوى, وبيعمل إيده كده بيشاور على الجسد قدام. Actually it's written here in this verse, great is the mystery of godliness. Godliness اللي هي التقوى, تترجم العربي كده. So what is the mystery of godliness? It's all the whole story of our Lord Jesus Christ. God was manifested in the flesh, the incarnation, justified in the spirit. He was perfect, always perfect, seen by angels, not only by men, preached among the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up in glory. So the whole story of our Lord Jesus Christ on earth, the whole story of salvation, is the mystery of godliness. And we are putting the whole story of godliness in this mystery. I mean, when we go forward to get the communion, we are receiving the whole mystery of godliness through the act of communion. Because the body of Christ, the blood of Christ, is the same body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, who was manifested in the flesh. This is the person who was justified in the spirit. This is the man who was seen by angels, and he is not only man, but he is their God. Also, this is the one who were preached among the Gentiles. And this is the body and blood of the Lord who was believed on in the world, and this is the one who were received up in glory. So the whole story, all steps of salvation was put in this mystery. فهمتوا الفكرة؟ لما بنقول السر العظيم الذي للتقوى, it's not only the start of the mystery of incarnation, but the whole story. The Lord was manifested in the flesh, and He was the perfect man, and also seen by angels, preached through all over the world, and lastly He ascended to heaven. So this is our Lord, the whole mystery inside Him. So I cannot understand the whole mystery by mind, but by eating the body and drinking the blood of Christ, I'm taking the whole mystery inside myself. So I'm now man of God. I'm getting the mystery of godliness. You got it? عشان كده التعبير اللي جه هنا سر التقوى على قصة الخلاص كلها بنحطه في القداس على الجسد والدم. وضع لنا هذا السر العظيم الذي للتقوى. You got it? So after explaining the whole story to the non-believer, he may ask, may I see God? Can I touch him? Can I see this man who were preached among the Gentiles? How can I see him? How can I touch him? Now it's time to deliver the message of this Eucharist. Yes, you can touch him, but you need faith. You will touch him through this mystery of communion. So as if we can say the mystery of incarnation is completed with the mystery of Eucharist. The coming down of our Lord Jesus Christ in the flesh is completed on the altar by touching him by the whole congregation. Another verse in John chapter 6. I think you all know that John chapter 6 is the master chapter in the whole Bible explaining the idea of the mystery of Eucharist. يوحنا 6 أهم إصحاح عندنا بيشرح التناول. As the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so he who feeds on me. Look carefully to this term, to this word. Who feeds on me will live because of me. So Christ should be something to be eaten after this verse. Who feeds on me will live because of me. So we can never live without the Eucharist. We can never have a real eternal life inside our hearts outside the mystery of Eucharist. There should be some way to eat him so we can enjoy the life, the new life, the eternal life. Who feeds on me will live because of me. Also on the same chapter written, but Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. You know, with the end of this chapter, many Jews went away after they listened to the words of Eucharist. They couldn't imagine the story. They couldn't accept the mystery of Eucharist. So they left him away. So our Lord Jesus Christ asked his disciples, Do you want to go away? And they went away. Simon Peter said, where can we go after we listen to the exact words of the eternal life? As if he's saying, now we know exactly the key to the eternal life. Now it's simple to us, just by one meal we can get the eternal life. By eating you, whatever the way, now we can enjoy the eternal life. So by simple faith, by simple belief, in the words of our Lord, we can enjoy the eternal life. That's why in all masses, Abuna بيقول يعطى لمغفرة الخطايا وحياة أبدية لمن يتناول منه. So it's always mentioned in any mass that the eternal life is very intimate to the story of communion. Also, we are saying in the Mass, which shall be broken for you and for many for the remission of sins. Remember always that while we pray, while we worship God, that He was broken for ourselves, but for others, for many. So this is the idea of evangelism inside the liturgy. That while we're praying to God and we are enjoying our Lord, أنا الحبيبي وحبيبي لي, He is the bridegroom of the church. So we always think of others, that there are many who wish to enjoy this sacrament of unity with the Lord. So it was saying always in the Mass, shall be broken for you and for many, and for the remission of sins. So there are many outside the church waiting for this sacrament to enjoy. I would put it this way. I am as an Orthodox preacher, I'm dreaming of giving the sacrament of communion to the whole world. I'm not dreaming only of baptizing these people. I'm dreaming first or more to give them the body and blood of Christ. So أنا مش هرتاح غير لما الناس تتناول, فاهمين ازاي؟ Because I know how much great is this sacrament. I know how much easy for them after to go to heaven after they enjoy the unity with the Lord through the mystery of Eucharist. So as an Orthodox preacher, I'm very different here from any other denominations. They just say, please accept the Lord as your Savior. No, I have many other steps in my mind. I want them to enjoy the sacrament of the church, sacrament of baptism, chrismation, repentance and confession, and overall the sacrament of Eucharist. So the real feast of our evangelism is to see those people who were baptized, who believed in Christ, coming to the altar to partake in the body and blood of Christ. The real feast, the الاحتفال الحقيقي بيبقى بعد ما يتناولوا, لأن كده خلاص بقى لزقوا في ربنا فاحنا كده فرحانين بيه. Also it's written in the Mass, this bread he makes into his holy body, our Lord God and Savior Jesus Christ, given for the remission of sins and eternal life to those who shall partake of him. And this cup also into the precious blood of his new covenant, our Lord God and Savior Jesus Christ, given for the remission of sins and eternal life for those who shall partake of him. So it's repeated, you know, the truth of eternal life given through the partaking of Christ's blood and body. Also in John 3, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is the Spirit. So as far as being flesh man, you should eat some flesh. You should eat bread and breakfast and dinner. As spiritual being now, you should have something different to eat. So this is very easy, because now you are spirit of spirit, you are not flesh of flesh. Now you are born again from heaven, you should have very special meal coming from heaven, because now you are different, you came from heaven by baptism. Also we should know as preacher the regulations for getting the Holy Communion, or the what do we need before getting the communion. First of all, we need to revise our faith, review our faith. Do we believe really in our Lord Christ as the Lord? Do we believe in His coming in the flesh? Do we believe in His dying on the cross, as resurrection, ascension to heaven? So we revise our belief in all the masses, in all the liturgies. تاخدوا بالكم, we are speaking the creed before the mass of the believers. بنقول بالحقيقة نؤمن قبل ما ندخل في قداس المؤمنين. And on this minute, those who were catechumens, those who did not get baptized yet, they should leave the church. Even if they can say بالحقيقة نؤمن, but now they cannot enjoy the coming feast of getting united to the Lord through the mystery or the sacrament of Eucharist. So the creed is always there in the center of the Mass, بالحقيقة نؤمن. And the creed is rather repeated in many other ways inside the liturgy. How about Salat al-Sulh? The reconciliation prayer, the first part of the Mass of believers, it's some kind of another creed. We revise the whole story. God created man, and man sinned, and then death came inside the mankind, and our Lord came to earth incarnated so He can save man, and now we are saved through His blood. So again, the story. When Abuna was saying agios, he started to revive the whole story again by saying agios, agios, agios. يعيد القصة تاني. خلقتنا وضعتنا في الفردوس ولما والموت دخل للعالم تاني ويحكي الحكاية تاني. Even in the last part of the mass, مع الاسم والاعتراف الأخير, أبونا هو بيقسم. He revived the whole story again. Who is this man? Who is this being? He is touching now. This is the Lord Christ who was incarnated and died for humanity and raised from the dead and ascended to heaven. This is He who we are going to partake of His body and blood. That's why the easiest and the commonest word spelled by the whole congregation is the word Ameen. لما الشعب بيقول Ameen, Ameen is the word of expressing faith. لما بقول Ameen معناه موافق حقا. Ameen يعني I believe. واخدين بالكم؟ فابونا بيقول هو ascended to heaven. Ameen. He will come again. Ameen. So I believe. He مسك الجسد الخبز عشان أمين. فاهمين ازاي؟ ولما نقول حتة طويلة قوي في القداس تلاقي الشعب بيقول ايه؟ أمين أمين أمين. فاهمين ازاي؟ ليه؟ As if we are reviewing all the creed spelled by the priests and deacons and the whole congregation. So the first request is faith, pure faith, orthodox faith. We believe in the Lord and the Church and the sacraments. The second request or regulation for getting the Holy Communion, that is repentance. لما بنقول الاستحقاق, who is worthy of partaking body and blood of our Lord? Nobody actually is worthy. محدث يستحق. But those who believe in Him and those who is repenting all the time after taking the sacrament of baptism, now they are ready to partake of His body and blood. So being worthy is just a gift from heaven to those who are living in faith and repentance, who believed and living in belief. So the ongoing story of repentance and believing is the main requisite for the sacrament of Eucharist. فهمتوا الحتة دي؟ يعني لما اللي هيتناول ده, أهم شرط عندي إن يكون مؤمن وتايب, طبعا متعمد. فاهمين ازاي؟ لأن هو أساسا لو كبير مش هيتعمد غير لما يكون مؤمن وتايب. بس لو متعمد وبطل يؤمن مش هيتناول برضه, ولو متعمد وبطل يتوب برضه مش هيتناول. فهمتوا الفكرة؟ لأنه ما ينفعش يقرب. يبقى the same two requisites before baptism applied here in the sacrament of Eucharist. We will continue our journey with repentance and with belief or trusting God the whole life to enjoy the sacrament of Eucharist. That's why we put the confession, sacrament of confession, in some way related to the communion. It shouldn't be this very literal, very يعني حرفية أوي, but actually there is some kind of relation between life of repentance and life of Eucharist. It's very much related to each other. Also, how about the greeting each other inside the Mass? لِبِنْقَبِّلْ بَعْضَنَا بَعْضًا. This is some kind of expression, the life of repentance. If I'm really living the life of repentance, I'm living in love with everybody. Because all sins stand against love towards God or love to men. All sins are like trespasses against either God or man. So by greeting each other, we are confirming that we are living life of repentance because we love each other. Whoever the guy you are greeting him, you love all people and you love God. So you can now enjoy the sacrament of Eucharist. In the first letter of Corinthians chapter 10, "For we, though many, are one bread and one body, for we all partake of that one bread." This is another point in the sacrament of Eucharist, that the sacrament of Eucharist will make us united to the Lord, and also it will make all of us united to each other. The sacrament of Eucharist is very much related to the unity, to the union. And the unity is the target of Christianity, being united to the Lord and united to each other. This is the act of the sacrament of Eucharist. So, although we are many and we are different, we are one by partaking of the one bread. So as we are eating of the same body of Christ and drinking from the same cup of the blood of Christ, now we are all like one body. We are making the body of Christ. We are enjoying the membership in His body. Also written in Matthew, "Therefore if you bring your gift to the altar and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go your way. First be reconciled to your brother and then come and offer your gift." So by applying this advice of this commandment of our Lord Jesus Christ, you cannot get nearer to the altar, you cannot enjoy partaking of the body of Christ if you have something against any man outside. Just go first and be reconciled to your brother. So this is major point in our repentance. In part of the Mass, "Bless the crown of the year with your goodness for the sake of the poor of your people, the widow, the orphan, the traveler, the stranger." Why we are doing so? Why we are praying for those people who maybe we do not know, we have never seen them by face? Because this is the sacrament of Eucharist. While being very near to the heart of Christ, now we are in love status to every man on earth, all human beings, known and unknown, strangers, widows, orphans, travelers, we pray for everybody. This is like the open heart of Christ. So by coming nearer to the altar, nearer to the heart of Christ, you have now the heart of the Lord, so you should be in a loving state to everybody. Even we pray for the water, the plants and everything. How about the famous question of how can this man give us his flesh to eat? This is the commonest question about the sacrament of Eucharist, and this was spoken by the Jews. إزاي ده ممكن يدينا جسد ناكله? This is a very logical question. Now we are seeing the Lord walking as a man on earth, but how can we eat Him? We are not eaters of human beings. The Jews then complained about Him because He said, "I am the bread which came down from heaven." And they said, "Is not that this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then He says, 'I have come down from heaven'?" Jesus therefore answered and said to them, "Do not murmur among yourselves. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up at the last day." So, by saying so, our Lord mentioned that it's not by logic you can accept this mystery. You can never understand the whole truth beyond this sacrament. But by being drawn by the Holy Spirit, يعني ربنا شدك للإيمان, حط في قلبك الإيمان. So by this faith you can enlighten to see the truth inside this sacrament. That's why we cannot start saying this sacrament to the non-believers. They are still in the dark, so they can never understand what are we talking about. يعني إيه تأكل ربنا؟ ده كلام حدش يقوله في الأول. فاهمين ازاي؟ But by believing in ربنا as a man, he became man and walked on earth. So this is the first step to believe in the sacrament of Eucharist. So by being human being, he could make everything, so he can give even his body in a sacramental way to be eaten. As we believed in him as God coming to earth as man, why don't we believe him as a man coming to our bodies through eating? He can do everything. Again, the question, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? The Jews therefore quarreled among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? Look to the answer. It's very important. Look carefully now. Then Jesus said to them, most assuredly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Come on, God. Why don't you explain? They are asking about a question. They are saying, how? So just say the explanation. There is no logic explanation. It's rather by faith. It needs the Holy Spirit's power to help you to believe. You can never imagine how can the body of Christ be eaten by human beings. You cannot accept it by thinking. But you know, the answer here was very firm. If you want to reject this truth, you will reject life forever. So his answer was, I say to you most assuredly, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. So this truth was very strong and fixed with no explanation. Although they were asking how, there are no real intellectual answer to the how. But there was a truth revealed, proclaimed by God. He said so. That's why when the priests say, this is the body of Christ, you just say, Amen. I understand.
لما تسمع ان الكاهن بيقول لك ده جسد حقيقي تقول امين دم حقيقي امين لو ما عرفش تقول امين اطلع بره ما تتناولش فاهمين الفكره عشان كده شغلتنا كلها في القداس امين امين امين
whoever eats again the truth proclaimed again whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life and I will raise him up at the last day so there is a promise proclaimed by God that whoever will eat and drink of his body and blood will come up from the dead and will go with him to the kingdom of heaven. So according to this promise, we are enjoying the masses daily. For my flesh is food indeed. This is another very good verse we should know by heart. My flesh is food indeed. Indeed اللي هي حقا وفي اليوناني دي الإثية دي كلمة مشغلانة كبيرة قوي اللي هي جزء من الحقيقة يعني you can never know God حقا if you do not accept this part of the truth. This is part of the truth that our God gave his body to be eaten. Part of the truth. So you cannot ignore part of the truth. My flesh is food indeed. My blood is drink indeed. This is, you know, the best answer to those who believe that the sacrament of Eucharist is just some symbolical act. حاجة رمزية كده يعني. No. As Orthodox we believe, we taste the blood as the same taste of the barca, but we believe this is the blood of Christ. We taste the bread, still the bread as taste, but this is the body of Christ as we believe.
Again, who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him, as the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so he who feeds on me will live because of me. So this is, they consider, the forefathers of the church considered the sacrament of Eucharist is the ultimate gift given by the Lord to human beings. As if our Lord came to earth for this. This is his ultimate gift, his greatest gift to humanity. So we cannot reject this part of the truth. Also again, John 6, therefore many of his disciples, when they heard that, said, this is the heart saying. Heart for what? Heart for the mind. You understand? This is heart accepting by mind. But it's not heart believing by heart. Again, it's heart accepted by mind, but it's not heart accepted by heart. No, actually the kids enjoy the act of communion. When I'm telling my kids long ago, we will take Gesed Udam Yeshua, they accept it very easily. But when you preach to an old man, it's not that easy. It's hard for their mind. So they said to him, this is hard saying. Who can understand it? Look to this. Who can understand it? What was the answer? Jesus knew in himself that his disciples complained about this. He said to them, does this offend you? What then, if you should see the Son of Man ascend? You know, this means, if you cannot believe in this, how can you believe in other things? How can you believe in God as man? How could you believe in God, man, ascended to heaven? How can you believe in God crossed on the cross? You can never believe in many things if you ask for the explanations. If you should see the Son of Man ascend where he was before, yani many other questions you may question if you go by thinking, by understanding, by logic, you will stuck in many problems. It's the Spirit who gives life. So go with the Spirit, because now you are born again from the Spirit. You should live with the Spirit. The Holy Spirit will guide you to believe this is a real gift of God, body of Christ and blood of Christ. The flesh profits nothing. If you go with the flesh, if you go with the mind is some shweturapilech. So go with the Holy Spirit, which is eternal. The words that I speak to you are spirit. So you should accept it by the spirit, not by the mind. How can you explain the Holy Mass for the non-believers? You can express the journey of the Holy Mass as if journey to heaven. في طريقة شرح القداس يا جماعة المفروض قبل ما يتناول تكون شرحت له القداس. أطفال شباب المفروض يكون عنده فكرة إيه القداس ده. So you can explain the mass like a journey to heaven. How can you take the flight, الطيارة وهتطلع للسماء. Or you can explain, or you can speak about the mass as wedding of the king's son, like حفلة عرس. You can explain the Holy Mass at the meeting at the end of times, يعني احتفال القديسين كلهم بالمسيح في الآخر. Or the story of humanity and salvation. Or the kingdom of heaven on earth, ملكوت الله على الأرض. So these are like different key entrances to the explanation of the Holy Mass. يعني اختار الطريقة اللي تشرح بيها القداس، يا إما رحلة للسماء، يا إما حفلة عرس، يا إما ربنا نزل الأرض هياخد الأرض للسماء. Whatever the way you explain the story of the Mass. But you know, you should point at three major points. The offering of the morning incense and evening incense. The story of incense, البخور. تعرفين القداس نقدر نقسمه ثلاث. البخور ذاكر وعشية، قداس موعظين، قداس مؤمنين. Simply you will explain the idea that we started with the incense. It takes like 20 minutes in the يعني afternoon and early morning before the mass, and then we go to the second part, which is the mass of the catechumens or the mass of the word, that we listen to the word of God, we meditate with the Lord of God, word of God. البولس والكاثوليكون والإبراكسيس والمزمور والإنجيل, and lastly we pray to unite with our Lord Jesus Christ in the mass of the believers. فأنت بتحطها في ثلاث قطع كده ببساطة. In the offering of the incense, we start with the thanksgiving, the prayers for the sick and travelers, and now the incense. بنقول إفنوتي ناينا, مش هشرح بقى دلوقتي, انتوا أظن عارفين القداس, أو نبقى نديكوا حاجة لشرح القداس بس عشان الوقت. And lastly we end with the absolving and the blessing, the absolution اللي هو التحليل. أبونا بيدي الحل للناس كلها, عشان لو في ناس ماشية مش هتصلي القداس, أو ساعات كان زمان ما يحصلش قداس بس يحصل صلاة بخور بس عشية وبكر. The catechumens mass or the قداس الموعوظين is the part given to even the non-believers who start to believe. يعني بنشرح لهم by the word of God all truth. So this is the part of the mind, يعني worshipping God through the word of God. بنبتدي بصلوات الأجبية, وبعدين اللامب اللي هو الحمل, وبعدين الشكر, وبعدين التحليل, وبعدين the readings. You know, Saint Paul was always directed toward the grace of God. The other Catholic epistles were focusing on the struggle of man, and Praxis is the model of the early church, while Synaxar is the continuity of the church struggling to go to heaven. بعد كده الصالم والإنجيل اللي the word of God. Now we listen to the word of God, and زي ما تقولوا يسوع بيخطبنا بكلمته, بعدين بندخل للقداس بقى عشان نبقى عروسته ونلزق فيه through the mass of believers. We start with the prayer of reconciliation, الأنافورة اللي هي الجزء الأولاني بعد الصلح. أبونا بيكشف عن المذبح, وبعدين ارفعوا قلوبكم, بنحس ان احنا في السماء حوالينا الملائكة. بعدين يبتدي أجيوس, بقينا نقول زي الملائكة أجيوس, وكلنا نتقدس. وبعدين يمسك بقى الجسد والدم بإيده أبونا, ويبتدي طقس الترانسفورميشن ده اللي هو التحول اللي بيحصل. وبعدين نحتفل بحضور القديسين في المجمع والاسمة, وبعدين نتناول. Concerning the homework of this week, I knew that the homework of the last week was a bit tough and long one. Yeah, I knew. I'm really sorry. But for this one, it's not very long, so you can continue or you complete the last one. The homework of this week from Isaiah 40, chapter 40, and Jeremiah chapter 1. Just two chapters. You study the two chapters in this week. Please pick out the characteristic of an evangelist, the characteristics or the signs or the qualities of an evangelist, and the second point, the materials or contents of evangelizing. I mean how the evangelist should look like and what is he going to speak about. هيقول ايه بالظبط, هو شكله ايه, صفاته ايه, وايه اللي هيقوله. This you'll find easily in Isaiah 40 and Jeremiah 1. In Isaiah, he's not speaking about himself. He's speaking about the preachers everywhere. But in Jeremiah, it's like the vision of Jeremiah to the Lord, and how the Lord asked him to start serving, to start preaching, and what was he look like at that time, and what is the content of the mission he's going to speak about. Do you have any problems with the homework? Actually, you are very happy with some of the homeworks and not that happy with those who are not making the homework. So please try to make it, because if you make the homework, you will get a great benefit. It's all for you, not for us.
صدقوني الواجب ده ليكم انتوا، لو عملتوه باهتمام هيفرق معاكم طول العمر.
Jeremiah 1 is Isaiah 40
Please, if any of you miss one of the lectures, please try to get it from the net and the link on the site the day after. Any lectures you miss before, please listen to it.
ما حدش يفوت محاضرة لو سمحت، عشان كل محاضرة ليها قيمة.
There are two questions by some of the servants. In Acts chapter 9 it was written, I will show him how much he must suffer for my name. What does the Lord mean by he will show St. Paul how much he must suffer? I think because St. Paul was persecuting the church and he was seeing the people suffering for the name of the Lord happily, and he was always questioning how could they suffer that much in the name of the Lord with happiness. So the Lord answered the question, I will let him suffer in my name, and to know by love how this suffering is joyful. You got it? So I will show him how much he must suffer for my name, how much those who love the Lord will suffer for him joyfully. In Acts number 10, chapter 10, they received the Holy Spirit, then they were baptized. Okay, this is a rare case, or يعني حاجة exceptional, because in this chapter the faith of Cornelius, you remember the story of Cornelius? Cornelius was a pagan, he was not a Jew, and the angel came to him telling him, please go and ask for St. Peter to let you know the real message from God. And St. Paul visited Cornelius, and after delivering the message, the Holy Spirit came down on the people before even baptized, because St. Paul was not going to baptize them. He was not planning to count them as believers, because he never did it before. He never count any pagan to be Christian. So the Holy Spirit guided him by this miracle, as if he is telling St. Peter, go and baptize them. So after he saw the Holy Spirit came down on them and they start praising God in tongues, so he said, how could any prevent the holy water from these people? Let's baptize them. So this is very exceptional case, that the Holy Spirit preceded the act of baptism. فهمت القصة ولا توهتوا مني؟ So we cannot make it like a rule. No, usually we deliver the message, they believe, then they have the baptism, and after which they got the chrismation, as we said in the lecture.